we're continuing our series called Choices, right? Choices is a big deal because the choices that we make today influence our tomorrow. Choices that we made yesterday make us who we are today. So if you don't like your today, then you need to change the choices that you made yesterday. Because if you make the same choices that you did yesterday, you'll get the same results that you have today. Now, some of you have made great choices in the past, and today you're reaping it. And people might be a little jealous or you know, maybe saying, you know, why is that person so blessed? Maybe some here who made bad choices. And you know what? We all have made some bad choices in the past. And you know, the coolest thing about Jesus, when we come to Him, He forgives us those bad choices and He helps us turn around so we can make better choices so we can have a great future. Listen, do not forget the kind of God we're serving. We all been there and done that. And instead of saying, well, you know, I'm not embarrassed about my choices I made yesterday. If they were bad choices, I am embarrassed. Yeah, but if they were good choices, I'm proud of them. And I want to do more of the good choices rather than the bad choices. Amen. And so today, I want to talk to you how to make good choices every time. That's my topic. Would you like to make good choices every time? No, seriously. Would you like to make good choices every time? Some of you are like, sounds good, but no. I like my rebellious, you know, hard-headed, you know, I just love being the way I am. But listen, who are we kidding? Sometimes we end up in life and we don't like, you know, how we feel. We don't like the debt that we, you know, accumulated. The credit cards calling. And the coolest thing, guys, you're young today. All of you are so young. And you can still make so many good choices. This is not over. Life is not over. God has brought you here so He can show you how to do better. Amen. All right. So let's open our Bible to Mark chapter 3, verse 13 through 19. Mark chapter 3, verse 13 through 19. This is a story of Jesus choosing His 12 disciples. Now, last week we've learned that Jesus had many disciples whom He called, right? It wasn't just 12. He called over 100 disciples. You remember He called the rich young ruler, and the rich young ruler said, I don't want to follow you. He was called, but He didn't want to follow him. Do you remember a man who He called and said, follow me? And the man said, well, I got to go bury my old parents first, and then I'll follow you. But Jesus said to him, what? Go, follow me now, but let the dead bury the dead. Meaning, don't wait to follow me now. There was another man who came to Jesus. And he said, Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but a son of man has nowhere to lay his head. I don't even have a home. Are you sure you want to follow me? And the man changed his mind. There were 70 guys who He sent by two into different cities where He wanted to go so they could preach. So there were 70. Then we remember at the day of Pentecost, there was 120 people. Okay, so Jesus called a lot of people, but now He's calling, or He's actually choosing the 12 that will spread the gospel all over the world. These are the guys that will go into all the nations and be the leaders of the gospel. They're not just the ones who come and hear Jesus. They're the ones that are going to spread the good news. Amen? And so let's go into our reading. And He went up on a mountain and called to Him those He Himself wanted. Now, there was a lot of guys following Him, but He called to Himself only those He wanted. We know from book of Luke that He prayed all night before He made this decision. He didn't just make this decision hastily. He prayed all night, spoke to His Father, and His Father, I don't know, either told Him, you choose these 12 guys, and this one is Judah, you choose them too. Or maybe God led him, just like he leads us, without telling us, you know, exactly, you know, Peter, James, John, you know, and Judah. Maybe God just kind of led him. You know, God doesn't just always speak to us in a loud voice. Actually, you'll rarely, you'll almost, maybe it's a one in a lifetime thing that you hear God speak to you with your audible ears. But most people will never hear it with your audible ears. We learn to hear His voice in our heart. Have you ever heard the voice of love? What does it tell you? It speaks to you, right? If you love somebody, it just talks to you. It just tells you the good things you want to do for them. Husbands, wives, right? You lovers? No. You know what I mean? We can hear God's voice. It's almost like the voice of love. It's just magnetic. You can't deny it. You know for sure, I love that person. Something is inside telling me, that's the one. Amen? And so, that's how God speaks. God speaks through leading you. God could speak to you, your heart. God could speak to you prophetically. God could speak to you through little babies. You know that God could actually speak to you through drunk people? I'm telling you the truth. I've had a drunk person from nowhere come to me and start prophesying to me. And I'm like, you're drunk. God could speak through anything. God could speak to you any way He wants to. So God is speaking to Jesus here in the mountain. And let's see what it says. Preaching. Then He appointed 12 that they might be with Him and that they might be sent out to preach and to have power to heal the sick and cast out demons. And then it says that it mentions them by name, 12 guys by name. Now, so today we want to talk more about choices, because the choices of Jesus, choosing His disciples, were crucial to the growth and health of the church. Remember, Jesus came to save the lost. He didn't come after Pharisees who were supposedly following the law and were saved by the law. He didn't come to save the good people, the priests in the temple. He came to save the lost. And the thing is that Jesus couldn't do it by Himself. Jesus needed people to do this with Him. Now, if you're a Christian today and you're waiting for Jesus to come to you and make you feel all tingly inside, that's a good feeling. But that's not why He came. Jesus came to save those who are drowning, those who are lost. Amen. And if you are in love with Jesus, then you have the same calling that He does. Jesus couldn't do this ministry by Himself. So He chooses 12 guys to help Him. Oh, I wish I had 12 radical people who would be all about not themselves, but would be all about going out there and reaching people, finding the lost, paying the price, being embarrassed sometimes, being cursed sometimes, and reach those people who are out there. Oh, how I wish that. And Jesus, He prayed. He said, Father, who do I choose? Jesus said this, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And He teaches us, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send the right people to win the lost. And my prayer is so big for New Life Church right now. God, I need some people who would go and win the loss. I need some people who don't care how I preach. If it's what kind of food I give them spiritually, they can feed themselves. I'm looking for people who would say, I got enough in me already. I can feed somebody else. That's the kind of people I'm looking for. Jesus didn't go to Pharisees and said to them, hey, listen, guys, you know, why don't you just become my disciples? He said, no, I don't want you. You're too much into your religion. You're all about teaching yourselves. You know how Pharisees, they would get together and they would teach each other. You know, they would bounce off ideas. They would, you know, but the lost were being were being lost. The lost were being lost, and the saved were focused on themselves. And Jesus is like, if I can find 12 guys, Father, if you can give me 12 guys who just go out there and not become this another cult organization who will focus on themselves, but go and reach the gospel, I can change the world. Bible says, for God so loved the world that he has sent his only son. Now, that's not talking about Jesus only. It's talking about you. Are you a son of God? Are you a child of God? Are you a daughter of God? Then he has sent you. Paul says, for I have been crucified with Christ, and no longer I live. But who? But Christ that lives within me. If Jesus was alive today, would he be in our service? If he was, he would bring a whole bunch of people in here. He would pack this place, and I wouldn't be preaching, obviously. But, but that's the point. That's why we were saved, so we could save others. I am not here to just feed the same people who've been saved for many years. I am here. And the reason God has called New Life Church is to reach young people and young families who are far from God into close relationship with Jesus. We had a couples night week and a half ago, and the couples were telling stories how God did this and that. And I'm like, wow, these people have been saved for a while. You know, their lives have changed so much, they don't even talk about problems anymore. But there's so many people out there who have it tough, whose marriage is falling apart. And we're sitting there, oh, my marriage is good. Me and my wife, we're debt-free, hallelujah. You know, and we got it good. Yeah, I know, because that's what God did. If it wasn't for Jesus, your marriage would be bad. You would be married every year. You would have messed up finances. You would probably be boozing to kill your pain. Guys, we forget what Jesus has done for us. You think I'm that good? I don't have the good genes. You might. You might be the nice person, you know, that, you know, just gentle and loving. I am not. I'm mean and angry. I'd be a mean drunk if it wasn't for Jesus. No, I'm serious. I would fight too. I would probably be walking with a black eye all the time because I get into things with people. I have a short fuse. But because of Jesus, it's been getting longer. My fuse has been getting longer. Amen? And if it wasn't for Jesus, where would you be? You all have testimonies. You all have uncle and aunts and family members who are far from God. And you can see where you would be without Jesus, because we are no better than our relatives. But because somebody invited us, because somebody came and said, please come to my church, come hear the band or something, God changed our life. And now we have a great purpose. We have a great future. We know where we're going. But listen, God so loved the world that he sent his most important thing that he had, his son. Are we going to have the heart of God, or are we going to be sitting here and enjoying good messages, comfortable building, and great music? That's not what God called me to. I'm sorry. That's not what God called me to. And if you're a Christian, that's not what God called you to. God has called you to reach the lost at any cost. Now, whose responsibility it is to reach people? A lot of people think that pastor is supposed to reach the people. That's not true. Bible says the reason God called pastors is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So actually, it's not my job to reach people. It's your job to reach people. And if you're not doing it, imagine if I came here and didn't prepare for my preaching. By a month end, we wouldn't have any people. If the band came and started practicing on Sunday, how would you feel? Like, shut up, you know. Stop playing. Just don't do anything. If believers come to church without inviting, on Sunday, without inviting somebody with them, that's like a band coming without practicing before, during the week. That's like a preacher coming without having nothing to say and just blabbering. God has called us to reach the lost at any cost. Now, we have Easter coming in about, what, a month and a half? We should have this place packed because you should bring at least two people. You know, our vision is bringing people who are far from God closer to Jesus. Your part is bringing people. My part, closer to Jesus. You didn't hear me? Your part, bringing people. My part, closer to Jesus. Bible says, in one body, there is many members. But there's only one mouth. I'm that mouth. You're the legs, you're the feet, you're the body of Christ. Amen. Now, I'm not saying I'm not bringing people, but it's the job of the church to bring people who they know in their workplace, their friends, their family. We have a church full of young people. Where's your parents? They're not going to church. So a lot of them are not. Where are they? If your parents are... How much do you love your parents? Depends when. What day. If your parents are not going to church, they should be here. Because Bible says, don't go preaching to somebody in Africa first. Reach your family first. Reach your people who are far out there. Don't reach people who are far out there. Reach people who are here. Who are close to you. Who work with you. Amen. Our vision is bringing people who are far from God into close relationship with Jesus. Your part is bringing people. And my part is equipping you to bring people. One of the slogans that we came up with, actually kind of came out of nowhere, is advertise, don't evangelize. How many of you, if let's say some other religion would come to you and try to convert you, how many of you would feel good about it? Probably not. But what if somebody came to you and said, hey, listen, come check out the band in my church. Come check out the basement. See, that's all it takes. It takes a little bit of advertising. What is advertisement? Burger King, have it your way, you know? It's just come try our hamburgers, you know? And you'll love them. Because they know if you don't like it, you will never come. But they just want to get you in the door because they know their food is good. Amen. So guys, all you have to do is just say, come hear the band. Come hear the preacher. He's crazy. And so tell them about it. Maybe you don't know a lot about Jesus yet. Maybe you're a beginner. But listen, you can always tell somebody what you know. And they could know Jesus too. Guys, can we do this? Can New Life reach our city? Do we have something to offer to this city? Because if we don't, if we suck, then we shouldn't be here. Let's just go to, you know, whatever. But if God has called us here, then He means business. He wants us to do something. And I know there's going to be hundreds of young people in this building. I know we're going to go to Saturday night service. I can't wait. Because we're packing this service. Hallelujah. But you know what? I can't do it. But you can. Listen, God says pastors really can't do it because they have to study and they don't really know a lot of unchristian people. But you know so many people and you can do it. So guess what? When you were asking, why is this church so small yet? Just ask, am I bringing people? Just look at yourself. Because people who come here, I know they love it. I was talking to a pastor and he said to me, the way your service is, you should be packing that every Sunday. He's like, what's up? He's like, how come nobody knows about New Life? That's what he told me. And I was like, what? I thought everybody knows about us. He's like, no, nobody knows about you. People know about, you know, the bigger churches in town, but they don't know about yours. How come your people don't talk about it? And I'm like, I don't know. I thought they did. But then I realized, probably not. God has something so amazing to pour out on this people in your life. There's some faith that's caught up in the spiritual realm right now. There's supernatural faith caught up in that spiritual realm that will be released only when we do our part. Sometimes we're praying and praying and praying, saying, God, listen, when is this thing going to happen in my life that I'm praying for? And God is saying, when you go do something, when you go reach people, I'm going to take care of your situation. I'm serious. How do you make good choices every time? That's my message today. I kind of got off subject a little bit because I see the same faces. How do you make good choices every time? The first question a good choice maker asks, write this down. Is it a generic choice or is it an exception? There's people who just always make good choices. Do you know that making choices is science more than it's, you know, something supernatural or wisdom? It's science. Really, it is. The good choice maker always asks these two questions when they're faced with a choice. Is this a generic situation or is this an exception? Okay? A lot of us, we like to believe that we are an exception to the rule. But usually, we're not. That's why it's called an exception, because it doesn't happen a lot. It happens once in a while. Last week I talked about that before you make a choice, you have to slow down and pray. But have you ever heard of people say, I'm praying about it, and then still make a stupid choice? Why? Why does that happen? Why is it that people pray about it and still make a bad choice? Because prayer is a precursor to decision making. Prayer is not decision making. After you prayed, you still have to go and make a choice or a decision. A lot of people wait in a prayer. They just pray and say, God, what should I do? And they just never make a decision. A lot of people even use an excuse. I'm going to pray about it. When they want to tell you no. But they can't because they're nice. And they won't tell it to you. So they said they're going to pray about it. But really, it's just no. Don't use that excuse. It's a bad, you know, that's a bad thing to teach your mind. To pray about it. Now, after you have prayed, you have three options. Okay? You have three options. Let's say you prayed and God clearly spoke to you in your prayer. And he said, do this. Then decision or choice is very easy. You have to do what God says. You have to obey. But how many of you know God doesn't always speak clearly to us? Or at least it's hard for us to understand what he is saying. So choice number two, you prayed about it, about a decision or a choice that you have to make, and you have no peace in your heart to continue. If you have no peace in your heart, that means stop, slow down, don't go anywhere. Either pray a little bit more or maybe it's a no. Now, or you have total peace about it. You prayed and you feel, okay, I can make this choice or make this decision. I have peace about it. That means God is trusting you to make a good choice. What about those times when you pray about making a decision and you have a neutral feeling? You don't have, you know, you have peace and maybe it's neutral. If you prayed and you have a neutral decision, that God trusts you to make a choice on your own. Okay? So just remember, after you prayed, you should either get yes or no, clear answer, and you have to obey. You get no peace or you have full joy. If you have no peace, don't do it. If you have full joy, maybe go ahead and do it. And number three is God didn't say anything and it's neutral. That means He trusts you to make a decision. But remember, praying about it is not yet a choice. You still have to make a choice. Now, so how do we make good choices every time? First, ask a question. Is it a generic choice or is it an exception? Now, generic choices must be made based on principles. Write that down. Generic choices must be made on principle. Now, a lot of times, people make too many choices. And that's the problem. When you make too many choices, you can end up messing up. Let's say this. This year, we're all in tax season right now. Right? And in tax season, people make a decision. Will I lie on my taxes? Will I cheat on my taxes? Or will I, you know, do them right? Now, let's say this year, last year, you made a choice. I'm going to do my taxes right this year. That was last year. But this year comes, because you didn't make a general choice or generic choice, guess what? You have to make the choice again. So this year, well, it's tough. I need more money back. So I'm going to, you know, add a zero or something like that. Notice, last year you made a good choice. But this year, because you didn't make a generic choice, you messed up. Let me give you another example. A husband could say, there's this girl that's paying attention to me. But she's not that cute, so I'm making a choice. I'm not going to do anything with her. Because I love my wife. But he says, well, but if next one comes and she's better, well, I'll make a choice based on that. See, that's calling making an exceptional choice. You don't need to make an exception choice in this area. You have to make a generic choice. I will not cheat on my taxes. That's it. That's the generic choice for the rest of my life. Amen? I will not be with any man before I get married. Doesn't matter how cute he is. That's a generic choice. Help me out here. Don't make choices based on each person you're going to date. Duh. Don't make a choice on each year. You're just going to have a lot of trouble. And sometimes you'll be in a bad state of mind and you'll be like, I'm just going to give in. Don't make an exception. A lot of people like to be an exception, but it's not. It's simple. My wife is good to me, so I'm not going to divorce her. But, you know, you never know tomorrow. You never know next year. No. I'm making a choice. Right? And it's generic. Every year, when she's good, when he's good, when he's bad, it doesn't matter. I'm gonna stick through this. Amen. So generic choices. Let's say generic choices are at work. I'm not going to steal from this person at work. Because I like them. Stealing is a generic choice, right? You should make a choice based on principle. I'm not going to steal from anybody. It's not only for the people I like. That's an exceptional choice. No. We got to make some generic choices. And then we don't make a choice. Because we already made one. You see what I'm saying? Choice making is a science. You have to make a decision and stick with it. Yes, there is an exceptional choices, and I'll talk about those too. But are you getting the generic choices? Generic choices are made on the principles of God. We call it a moral will of God. How do I know how to make good choices? I'll just have to read what God says. And God says, don't lie. You know, Ten Commandments is a moral code of God. Do not steal. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God. Those are generic choices. You don't have to go and pray, God, should I love that person or not? God, should I be obedient to my dad or not? No, those are generic things. I have to honor my father and my mother. That's generic. That stays the same. Guys, you will save yourself a lot of headaches and a lot of trouble if you, right now, just write down some choices and make them generic. Meaning, doesn't matter what happened, I'm going to stick to this. If you make an exceptional choice in your weight loss program, let's say, you know, I'm gonna be eating healthy till I lose 5 pounds. That's a bad, exceptional choice. You should make a choice. I'm gonna eat healthy for the rest of my life. That's why we mess up, because we make choices temporarily, where we should just make them general. Just make a decision. That's why they say diets don't work. It's a lifestyle. Amen. Being good to somebody, just one person, doesn't work. It has to be a lifestyle. I'm just a good person. I love people. Amen. Exercising, the same thing. You can't say, till I get in shape and then I'm done. No, it has to be a generic. I need to exercise twice a week. That's just part of my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Being joyful is a choice. But don't make it every day, please. Just generalize it. Say, every day, I choose to be joyful. Generic. For the rest of my life. Doesn't matter how I feel. Remember, joy is a choice. We talked about it a few months ago. Joy is a choice. So don't make, okay, based on how my girlfriend treats me, how my boyfriend treats me, how my boss treats me, how, you know, how things go well or not, that will determine my joy. No. Joy has to, you have to make one decision. I choose to be joyful every single day of my life. That's it. Because what's the downside? If you choose not generically, you'll choose based on situations. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because life will throw you some curveballs. Yeah, life will throw you some things you don't know how to. And if you will start making decisions based on the situation you encounter, you'll get in a lot of trouble. That's why I say, don't make too many choices. But once you make a choice, think about it, and let it be for your lifetime. I made a decision in 2011, and I said, I will walk in joy. I don't care what happens. I will walk in joy from now on, because I know the power of joy. Do you know when you come to your enemy and you're joyful, they can't say anything. When you come to your enemy, in the presence of your enemy, and you are down, they beat you even more. Yeah. But if you're joyful, hey everybody, how you doing? The enemy is like, they get angry, right? But try walking with joy. People are like, please shut up. Why can't he just... Amen. Reading your Bible shouldn't be a daily choice. Right? It should be a generic choice. That's it. I read my Bible every day. Praying. It's not everyday choice. Should I pray today or not? God, should I pray or not? Just make a choice and stick with it. Choice that didn't come into action. Write this down. Choice that didn't become an action is only a good intention. A choice that didn't translate itself into action is only a good intention. And a lot of you say, God knows my heart. Yeah. I made a choice, but I don't live it. No, it's only a good intention. It's not a choice. Because once you make a choice, I'm going to love you. Doesn't matter what. You stick with it. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you getting something out of this? All right. Number two, some choices that we have to make are not even in the Bible. Those are an exception. Let's say Bible says you want to be vegetarian, okay? Bible doesn't speak about that. The Bible says if you want to be vegetarian, go ahead. If you want to eat meat, go ahead. That's fine. So the point number two, where there's no command, where there's no principle, God gives us freedom and responsibility to choose. Right? When there's no command, when there's no principle, God gives us freedom and responsibility to choose. Should I eat meat? God says, if you eat it, you'll please me. And another says, should I eat vegetables only? God says, if that's what you choose, there's no command against it. I will be equally pleased. So when there is an exception, God wants us to choose responsibly and with freedom. And then some people come and they ask questions that are not in the Bible. If they're not in the Bible, if those principles are not in the Bible, then God gives you freedom to choose. And freedom is such a cool thing. Because making, second guessing your choices is like torture. Did I make a right choice? When God doesn't give you a command, when you prayed and God didn't say anything, He gives you freedom to choose. So choose freely and don't let your conscience bother you. Don't let anybody else bother you, Paul says. Okay? You mean God doesn't care? Well, you got out of your house and you wanted to run around the block. And you're like, God, you know, super spiritual person. God, should I run to the left of my block? Or should I run to the, well, this is my left, okay. To the left or to the right? Imagine this is the block. And God says, choose. There's no command for that. Don't be super spiritual, just choose. So you start running one way. You ran to your right and you met a person and it changed your life. See, God wants us to make the major choices and He will work out the details in the process. Let's say you're going to a job interview and you're like, Lord, should I wear a pink shirt or a blue shirt? So you decide, you're a guy, you decide to wear a blue shirt. And you went to a job interview and your boss is wearing the same kind of shirt and he likes you automatically. See, you couldn't have known that. See, God wants us to make choices, but He is a sovereign God and He works out the details of your choices. That's why if you made a choice based on God's principles, you don't have to worry that your life is not going the right direction. You know that God is going to work out the details. When God gives no command, He gives us wisdom to make a choice. So when God doesn't speak about whatever you ask in Him in the Bible, He gives you wisdom to make a choice. David is running away from Saul. You remember the story? He runs into a cave and he hides in it. Saul needs to go to the bathroom. Goes to that cave, and David is there. And the soldier of David says, let me kill him. It's a choice, right? David is faced with a choice. Let me kill him. And David says, there's Bible doesn't say nothing about killing your enemy, right? He's your enemy. God didn't say to David, don't kill him. But guess what? God gave him wisdom. And he says, I will not raise a hand against the anointed one. Let him die in a battle somewhere. Let God do whatever He wants to him. But I will not raise a hand against the anointed one. And it was the best choice that he ever made. Because if he killed somebody, somebody one of his soldiers wouldn't be afraid to kill him because he was anointed. He set the precedent for his nation. Guys, you will face choices. Some of them already written in the Bible. And you can just take it and run with it. And know that everything else God will work out at the end. Some of the choices are not so clear in the Bible. But they're still generic because other people went through that. So you have to get some wisdom from somebody else. Maybe read a book or on the choice that you're trying to make. Right? Still a generic choice. Maybe not in the Bible, but generic. And there's only a few choices in your life that Bible doesn't talk about it. And people have never been through. It's special. It's unique. But there are only a few. And that's when he gives you wisdom to choose. And when you choose, you can trust that he will work out the details in the end. All of us have this ability to second guess our choices. But one thing you can be sure, if you make them based on the Word of God, you don't have to second guess yourself anymore.